Well, it is time for us to continue our studies in the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bible ready, you'll want to turn to Luke chapter 19 and verse 29. And we're going to study what E.A. Elam wrote in these old Sunday school lessons about the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In our previous lesson, he made the argument that this probably occurred on a Sunday. And so this is the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life. It would end with his body in a tomb. But the beginning of that next week, early that next Sunday morning, he would rise from the dead. Turn to Luke chapter 19 and verse 29, and we'll begin the study momentarily. First, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's look at this old Sunday school lesson that was prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 4th, 1925. Luke 19:29. And it came to pass, when he drew nigh unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples. Luke and Mark say that Jesus drew nigh unto Bethpage and Bethany. Matthew 21 in verse 1 says, they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and came into Bethpage. And John 12 and verse 1 says, Jesus therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. So they made him a supper there, and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at meat with him. And Mary anointed him with precious ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Let me read that to you from John 12, verses 1 through 3. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at meat with him. Mary therefore took a pound of ointment of pure nard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This feast was in the house of one called Simon the leper. We read that in Matthew 26 and verse 6, and also in Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. All things considered, it appeared that this feast was most probably on Saturday evening after the close of the Sabbath, 6 days before the Passover and previous to the triumphant entry on the following Sunday. During the following week, every evening, Jesus went forth out of the city, Mark 11 and verse 19, to Bethany, and lodged there, Matthew 21:17, while he was teaching daily in the temple, Luke 19:47 and 48. Well, Jesus sent for the ass and her colt. We read in Luke chapter 19 and verse 30 that Jesus said to his disciples, go your way into the village over against you, in which as ye enter ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon no man ever yet set. Loose him and bring him to me. Those two disciples, now which two we know not, He said to go to that village. This village was doubtless Bethpage, separated from them perhaps by a valley not far away. The main road, it is supposed, led around the head of the valley or gorge, while a footpath led more directly across to the village. There at once, upon entering the village, they would find an ass tied and a colt with her. This lesson mentions only the colt, whereupon no man ever yet set. In giving these minute details, Jesus shows his divine knowledge. This is additional evidence that God sent him. Why should he ride the colt and not the mother? The prophet said, "Upon a colt and the foal of an ass." Matthew 27:5 tells us, he may have ridden the colt to show the power of his will over the untrained animal. The ass was a very respected animal in the East. Riding an ass was not evidence of Christ's meekness or humiliation. Asses were in common use in that country and were quite different from the asses of our land. They were used for plowing and carrying burdens and grinding and riding. Wild asses, from which sprang the common stock, were fleeter than most horses. Some tamed asses were large and spirited and had an easy, steady gait. Riding on white asses was classed with other blessings, according to Judges 5:10. The most honorable and noble of the Jews rode upon asses. Kings rode upon them. Jair, one of Israel's judges, had 30 sons who rode upon 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, Judges 10:4. It may be that Jesus rode the ass and not a fiery war horse in order to show the peaceable nature of his kingdom. The two disciples were to loose the mother and the colt and take them to Jesus. We read in Luke 19:31, "If any one ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say, the Lord hath need of them." The owner of the mother and the colt was doubtless a disciple and would gladly send the ass. He must have known Jesus. Jesus had been in that country before, shortly before that he had raised Lazarus from the dead at Bethany, and many of the Jews believed on him. John 11:45, "If the owner should ask by what authority the disciples loose the colt and its mother, it would be sufficient to say, the Lord hath need of them." Matthew 27:30. Here Jesus speaks of himself as the Lord, which means master, sovereign, king, and ruler. He frequently speaks of himself in terms of humiliation. Mark says, "The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him back hither," which means that when Jesus was done with the colt, he would return him to the owner. The owner at once sent the colt. Jesus, having used it, of course, returned it. Now, why this event? This is the only recorded instance of Jesus ever riding upon an animal. Mark 21:4-5 says, "This has come to pass in fulfillment of prophecy." And it gives the quotation. This is a quotation in substance from Zechariah 9:9. The object or end of this action of Jesus was not merely the fulfillment of this prophecy, but the prophecy was made in reference to the action, while Jesus had other reasons for it. So with the fulfillment of other prophecies, God saw the actions hundreds of years before they transpired as though they had actually come to pass, and foretold them that when they did come to pass, the world might recognize his divine foreknowledge and know all these things were from him. Jesus in this action applied to himself a prophecy which all the Jews themselves admittedly referred to the Messiah. He asserted his majesty as the Messiah and King, and yet in such a way as to show his kingdom is not of this world, and therefore not a temporal and political one. In this too, he allowed his disciples, the applauding multitude, to acknowledge him as the Messiah and the King. Now there's an application here. Luke chapter 19 and verses 32 through 34 say, "And they were sent and went away and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of them." See, the disciples did even as Jesus appointed them. They found the colt tied at the door, without in the open street, and as they loosed him, they were asked why they did so, and they responded as Jesus had directed. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 35, we read, "And as he went, they spread their garments in the way." They brought the colt to Jesus, and then threw their garments upon the colt and set Jesus thereon. The garments were outer garments, cloaks, or blankets. These were put on the colt as a saddle to make a comfortable seat for Jesus. In verse 36 it says, "And as he went, they spread their garments in the way." Well, many thousands attended the feast of the Passover. Many were from Galilee, where Jesus taught much. And many were from other places where he did mighty works and were ready to proclaim him king. They spread their garments in the way as a carpet for the colt to walk upon. Others cut the large leaves of palm trees and yet other branches and cut from the fields, Mark 11 and verse 8, and spread them in the way. And this was done to honor King Jesus and to show their submission to him. It was like decorating his way with flowers. In Luke 19:37 and 38 we read, "And as he was now drawing nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." He was drawing nigh even at the descent. That's when they came to rejoice. John 12, verses 12 and 13 says, "It was a great multitude that took branches of the palm trees and went forth out of Jerusalem to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. When they met him, they turned back and went before, while others followed after him." Hosanna means save, we pray. It was like a shout of salvation. Mark adds, "Blessed is the kingdom that cometh, the kingdom of our father David." And in this lesson, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The kingdom was coming in the name of the Lord. To acknowledge Jesus as the Son of David was to acknowledge him as King. Matthew 21:10 through 11 says that as they beheld this mighty throne descending from Mount Olivet and entering Jerusalem, and when they heard these shouts of praise, all the city was moved or thrown into commotion, and they asked, "Who is this?" The prompt answer from the applauding multitude was, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." They believed he was the prophet spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18 and 19, where God had told Moses, I will raise up like unto thee a prophet. We'll conclude with the next class.